We are to speak about Krishna. We are desirous to reach Krishna in the land of love and beauty, sweetness. Krishna is all love, all beauty, all sweetness. That one person who we can intimately trust, because the reality of our situation all around us is that we live in a world of intense pain. And even we may not feel it so intensely all the time, but that is just a little buffering, a little buffering from the general situation of intense pain. Being in the womb for 9 months, coming out of the womb, intense pain. Being in the body of a crocodile or a snake, in which the whole mentality is to catch some living being and kill them and eat them. That the whole existence is one of pain. The Bhagavatam states the form of a fish is full of pain all the time, completely low, in ignorance. We live in a world of pain. When we think of pain, what do we think of? Well, the child coming out of the womb. Nowadays, there's anesthesia. The child still feels the pain, but the mother doesn't when there's anesthesia. Then losing a limb in an accident, being in an accident. There are so many different kinds of accidents that can happen. Those who've been in a severe car accident, I have been in an accident in which two people were killed, but I was unscathed. I didn't have any physical injury whatsoever. But those who survive a car accident, ask Shyamasundar Prabhu, my one godbrother. It's the pain is such that you almost feel like you better be dead. Better I should have died. Physical pain, it's very much as it's in material existence, but especially in this Kali Yuga, in which people, they have such a mentality that they cause suffering to others. They take pleasure in causing suffering to others. And as a result, they have to suffer by karmic reaction. There's a whole body of tortures. There are so many different kinds of tortures which people have applied their intelligence to finding out how to torture people in various ways. Extremely cruel. The government of the United States or the CIA or whatever it is, they following legal, international legal standards of all different kinds of tortures you're not allowed to do. They discovered some kind of torture, waterboarding, which wasn't covered by the international laws. They say, it's not torture. It's torture, but they say it's not torture because it's not covered by the law. So what does that mean? That means that the law is there, which they decided to follow, but then they applied their brain how to devise some other kind of torture, which no one devised yet, or somehow didn't come under the scrutiny of the United Nations international law. So pain is so much part of life. But there's one kind of pain which hurts maybe more. mental pain, more than physical pain, mental pain, and particularly one type of pain I'm thinking of. It hurts so much, and it throws people out so badly. It disorientates them so badly. What I'm talking about is the pain of putting one's trust in someone and then having that trust broken. It's a common thing nowadays, that cheating in marriage, but maybe it doesn't hurt so much as it might have done in former times, because it's become so common that people practically expect it. This is a symptom of Kali Yuga. And that partners in marriage, they don't trust each other anyway. And therefore, when they find out that their partner's doing something which they'd prefer they didn't do, they're not so much disturbed by it. And maybe because they're doing it themselves also, or at least contemplating it. But I have seen a woman who's when I was much younger, I saw a woman who's just, she didn't suspect, and then she found out her husband was cheating and just shattered her life. She couldn't imagine. She couldn't, raised in a culture where that largely doesn't happen, and then she just couldn't imagine it happening to her, and it just shattered her life. She couldn't believe that such a bad thing. She was thinking everything's more or less okay in my world, and then all of something was just... The whole Jewish race faced an existential crisis, which it still hasn't got over, it seems. The Holocaust. Now, apart from the horror, the immediate, obvious horror of the Holocaust, you can't imagine that other humans would treat fellow humans in such a way. That in itself is so traumatic, especially when it's done on a mass scale, and it's done to us as a people. But there's another factor. The other factor is that being a Jew means that, well, there are different understandings of what it means, apart from biologically, racially being a Jew. There, being part of the whole, it's part of a race, it's part of it's a religion. It's not just a race, it's a religion in which you believe in God. That's the basic thing. You believe in God, and that God has a special pact with the Jewish people. And it was an existential crisis for the whole Jewish people. That how could God allow this to happen to us? It was very, very difficult, and it's still difficult for them. And basically, theologically, it's very difficult to come up with any answers. In Krishna consciousness, we do have an answer. Actually, we have an answer for all kinds of philosophical dilemmas, or paradoxes, or apparently unexplainable phenomena. Theodicy. Why is there suffering in the world? If there's God, it doesn't seem to make any sense. And yeah, many Jews became atheists. It's a major reason for people becoming atheists if they think, oh, if there's God, then why is there suffering? And then people lose hope in any higher reality. But in Krishna consciousness, we are very much aware of the suffering within this world. It's a major point of discussion that we do discuss among ourselves a lot about it, but that serves not to drive a wedge between us and God, to say, well, maybe God is bad, or there can't be any God, because if God is good, then why are we suffering? It doesn't drive a wedge, or it doesn't diminish our faith in him, but we can see it in the perspective that we are suffering in this world because of our own fault. And we find, if there's suffering, it's because of me. If I'm suffering, it's because of something that I have done, and in a previous life or in this life. And many people take that as a further reason to condemn religion. How can you say someone is a spastic, or the whole Jewish people? It could be very, very controversial if you apply the understanding of karma and reincarnation to the whole Jewish people. But it simply means that, yeah, we had it coming to us. Something that people have done. Now, it may not be that the Jewish people themselves did so many bad things. And again, it's very controversial when you talk about Jews. It's very, very loaded. I should make it clear, I'm not on an, not at all on an anti-Jewish trip. I'm not on an anti-anyone trip, except maybe, well, not for racial reasons, that's for sure. But if people cheat others in the name of religion, that is very bad. But we can understand that we create our own happiness and distress by the tiny modicum of independence that God gives us. Otherwise, what is there? What is this world? We live, we die, but clearly there is more to living and dying. There's reincarnation. Reincarnation is a fact. There is the inner desire for something higher. We want to connect with that which is high, loving, beautiful, sweet. That is God, that is Krishna. But then again, how can we trust? How can you put so much faith? If we don't put so much faith, then we are lost. We're lost in the ocean of uncertainty, no real hope of anything better. So in Krishna consciousness, faith is required. That faith is bolstered by experience we have of Krishna's mercy in our life. We do experience, we should experience, when we're hearing about Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna. Krishna consciousness is experiential. It's philosophy, not just philosophy. It's to be experienced. Pratyakshavagaman dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. Krishna consciousness is experienced happiness of relating with Krishna, seeing Krishna active in our lives, helping us. Now, in the present-day Krishna consciousness movement, we've also had similar phenomenon of broken trust. We are enjoined. It's an indispensable part of the whole process of Krishna consciousness is that one has to approach Krishna through devotees, and specifically one has to accept a guru. In the process of Krishna consciousness that's given, the very beginning is Guru Pada Ashrayas Tasmat. First one should, the very first thing is to take shelter at the lotus feet of a guru. And then Krishna Dikshanu Shikshanam Vishrambhena Guru Seva. Then one should take initiation from a guru. One should take instruction from a guru. One should serve a guru with affection. Taking shelter of a guru means with the faith that this person is competent to guide me toward Krishna and that he won't cheat me. But it has happened, not once, but many times within the contemporary Krishna conscious movement, that those who took the role of gurus did not live up to the faith that was reposed in them. And unsurprisingly, those who had put faith in their gurus, they lost faith in Krishna consciousness, or they lost faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, or they tried to reinvent it by inventing some philosophy of Ritvikism, guru. Major disturbance, and many, many people who took to Krishna consciousness have become bitter critics of the Krishna consciousness movement as it's going on, and especially of those who are in leadership roles. And without even examining the actual situation, it's just presumed that those who take a role of leadership in the Krishna consciousness movement, especially those who accept disciples, must be doing it to cheat others, which is an extreme and unrealistic stance. But people are hurt, they're damaged, psychologically damaged. And that will damage our prospects of coming to Krishna. We have to trust Krishna. We have to trust Krishna's benevolence. It becomes very, just like the Jewish people, very, very hard for them to recover the same faith they had. It wasn't all of them, but in general it was group trauma, both the what physically happened and then God, Jesus Christ himself. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He also is recorded as having, so even Jesus felt that at one point. Why have you forsaken me? But we have to retain that faith that God is good, and if something goes wrong, it's just like, it's very hard to say, and we don't like to say it, but if we see individuals or a whole people who might appear to be innocent and they're suffering, but we have to understand philosophically that it's something that we had to go through, or they had to go through. They had to go. It means that why so much suffering? Because they must have caused some kind of suffering like that to others, is one thing. And another thing is that if we can understand it properly, then we can understand that God is good. It's all in His plan to bring us closer to Him. Otherwise, like I say, what is there? Otherwise, there's hopelessness, agnosticism, atheism, skepticism. Reality is beautiful. Reality is good. It should be. Why do we have an inherent desire for beauty and truth and love and sweetness and kindness? Why do we have that? Because that is inherently we can feel. This is not philosophy. It's not even clinically definable psychology. This is what we might call our gut feeling. And the neurobiologists will say, well, it's all reproducible in the brain. Yeah, okay, it is reproducible in the brain by electric stimulation or drug stimulation, but there is beyond all, we are not our brains. We are not the neurons interacting in our brains. There is reality. We are discrete living beings. There is reality. Reality is good. Reality is Krishna. That faith we have to maintain. It can be very hard. We are asked, it's demanded in Krishna consciousness. We have to surrender to Krishna. That Krishna told Arjuna, you have to surrender. You have to take shelter in me. Arjuna had to trust Krishna. And we say, well, Arjuna was with Krishna. He could trust him. He'd personally been with him. But we can hear about Krishna. Hearing about Krishna is as good as being with Krishna. There could be grounds, even in Krishna's presence, not to trust him. Duryodhana didn't trust him. Arjuna trusted Krishna, and in terms of external circumstances, Arjuna and Duryodhana, they saw the same Krishna, but it was just their attitude which was different, because Arjuna had that trust in Krishna. Arjuna was a great devotee, pure-hearted devotee. And Duryodhana, he didn't have that trust, because he's a demon. And Duryodhana, you could say he was realistic. Why should I accept Krishna? I see Krishna. Maybe if you see Krishna face to face, that will increase your skepticism, according to our attitude. Maybe that's one reason why people say, well, we don't believe in God, any person. Because a person, I'm a person, and God's a person, and what to speak if you see Him moving right in front of your eyes. You're going to say, well, that's our goal of life, to be with Krishna, and see Krishna, and talk with Krishna, and sing with Krishna, and laugh with Krishna, and dance with Krishna, and eat with Krishna, and steal Krishna's sweet balls. But if we have the attitude of Duryodhana, they're saying, what are you talking? He's standing in front of me. How can he be God? People give great importance to the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Vishvarupa Darshan, where Krishna showed the fantastic form of himself as the whole universe, very powerful and unimaginable. People think, yeah, that should be God. But that God is Krishna, the person. We are asked to have faith in Krishna, and that whatever Krishna does is good. To put our trust ultimately in Krishna. You say, well, Krishna made this system of gurus, and the guru cheated me. Yeah, it's hard. Hard to deal with, no doubt. But again, We have to understand it's not the first time it happened. There, even outside the Krishna consciousness, in the movement, there are those who put their faith in gurus who were cheated by them. One of the first disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Rohini Kumar Ghosh, his name is given as that. He was looking for a guru. He ended up with a Baal guru. And in a dream, he found the Baal and his guru were like a tiger and tigress come to eat him. And then he ran away from them and was one of the very first disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He found a real guru. So he went through very bad experience. Now I may say, well, okay, that's a Baal. He's not a real devotee. What about in our movement then? There are people who are devotees who were trusted to a large extent by Srila Prabhupada, who had so much personal association with Prabhupada. And then again, we have to see philosophically, even the one devotee had such intimate association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was traveling. There was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and himself, these two. And they were together for months, just these two. Of course, they were traveling in South India. That was Kala Krishnadas. They were traveling in South India together. And how much intimate can you be? How much close association can you have? But this Kala Krishnadas, in the direct presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what could be more blissful? He fell down due to the lure of women. Just see how powerful is Maya. It's the potency of Krishna, the love of Krishna, it's achintya, unimaginable. But even the material energy is unimaginably potent, that even in the direct association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can fall away. What should we learn? Maya is very powerful. But should we give up our faith? Does that mean Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't protect him? He did pull him out. But still in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fell away. That means that as living beings, we have minute independence, which we can misuse even in the direct association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, we have to hold on to Krishna, and we have to do so through a guru, still. And then we have to pray to Krishna. And we have to pray, you guide me, what I should do now, where I can repose my trust, repose my faith. Becoming bitter, skeptical, that will not help. That will not help to develop the softness of heart which is required to advance in Krishna consciousness. Softness of heart means we open our heart to the love of Krishna, with faith in Krishna. But the softness, it might not always be seen, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his one prominent disciple, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, wrote of him here, he had the hardness of a conqueror externally, but internally his heart was very soft. So for preaching Krishna consciousness, it may be required to be very hard externally. Arjuna was soft-hearted, and therefore he didn't want to fight. But then understanding Krishna's desire, he had to seemingly harden his heart. Naturally, he felt very, very soft-hearted and affectionate toward Bhishma and Duryodhana, but he had to go and kill them. He didn't quite exactly personally kill them, but almost in both cases. It was actually Arjuna, although the credit, if you want to call it that, went to others, the Drishtadyumna with, well, first Bhishma with the Shikhandini, although it was Arjuna actually, and again Drona, Drishtadyumna, it was actually Arjuna, but the credit, if you want to call it, went to others. That was also ordained. So Arjuna had to become hard, but his heart was soft with love of Krishna. So these are all not such very easy things to understand. It's Krishna consciousness is an easy process, and the philosophy is basically very clear and straightforward, but there are many tests, and there can be tests of faith. Generally, when we think of tests, we think of tests of controlling our senses. Maya comes in the form of Maya Devi. In the case of Kala Krishna Das, he was the same old thing. It's the attraction of women. He fell to the attraction of women. But there's also the test that can we maintain our faith even when it seems that Krishna, I'm giving myself to you, and this is how you're treating me? Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Krishna, how can we recognize your mercy on someone? That was quite a question coming from Yudhishthira, especially. It wasn't just a technical or philosophical question, but Yudhishthira, along with his brothers, had to suffer for most of their lives. Even though they were great devotees of Krishna, they were being mistreated. Krishna allowed them to be mistreated. Bhishma himself was astonished at this, recounting this. We can find this in the Bhagavatam. But Bhishma said, it is all the plan of Krishna. We cannot understand Krishna's plans, but still we should have faith in them. So Yudhishthira asked, what is the symptom of your mercy? And Krishna told him, as it's said in Bengali, Jarayamai Korayash, Tare Korai Sarvanash. I can't remember exactly. I don't know where it's from. I used to hear it quoted to me many times in Bangladesh. I don't know where it's from. Maybe it's from Krishna Prema Tarangini or whatever. So, what does it mean? Who desires me, I destroy them. That was Krishna's reply. That I destroy their material situation. This happened to Srila Prabhupada. He quoted this when his whole business fell apart. There's in being a businessman and putting a business together, and then there's a sense I'm doing, I'm capable. I don't have to rely on others. I can stand on my own two feet. And then Krishna just took it all away. And Srila Prabhupada, what did he do? His faith in Krishna increased, seeing this is Krishna's hand, the inscrutable plan of the Lord. It becomes scrutable. It becomes understandable if we see that Krishna is acting in a way to benefit me, even though it might not seem like that at face value. But we have to understand that whatever Krishna does, if we are sincere, Krishna, whatever he does, will be for our benefit. And then if we're somewhat sincere but not completely, then Krishna, he, in his desire to bring us to him, may do things to us which really puts us on the spot. Do we want Krishna or do we not want Krishna? Do we want Krishna on our own terms and conditions, or are we prepared to accept whatever Krishna gives us? So Krishna consciousness is very easy, but becoming free from material attachments and completely surrendering to Krishna can be very hard. Look what Draupadi had to go through. It's unimaginable. It was unimaginable for anyone there in that assembly except the rascals who perpetrated the crime against her. Look what she had to go through. But ultimately, Govinda, Govinda, and that was her glory, which we remember up to the present time. How could Krishna allow that she be placed in such a situation? But in that situation, she became glorious. It's the most shameful thing she was being subjected to. But in that moment of the worst shame, she called out with full surrender, Govinda, Govinda. And that became her great glory, which is remembered up to the present day. And we can remember it also. It's practically, what was Draupadi feeling at that time? Whatever we have to go through, can it be as bad as what Draupadi had to go through? Worse than any physical torture. You may say what she had to go through. Yeah, physically it wasn't painful, removing her cloth, but what it meant to her as the respectable princess of Panchala and the wives of those heroes who were sitting right in front of her, doing nothing to prevent it, being constrained by fate, constrained by Yudhishthira. If Yudhishthira had allowed, Bhima at that time would have killed everyone in the assembly. Right there. But Yudhishthira, no. That was also Krishna's plan. He wanted the pus in the boil of the offensiveness of the demoniac Duryodhana and his followers. Let it become, and when that increase, and when the time is right, we'll destroy it all at one time. That was Krishna's plan. It's all Krishna's plan. What Draupadi had to go through. She trusted her husband. She didn't stop trusting her husband. But it was traumatic for her, no doubt. But she never lost faith in Krishna. And Krishna reciprocated with her. So that's the message of this talk. Expect pain in this world. Expect tremendous pain. And even what we think everything should be in the Krishna conscious movement, it might not be like that. And then how are we going to ask people to surrender and to Krishna? Well, we're going to have you put your faith. I accept disciples. Which means, directly or indirectly, I'm saying, put faith in me. It's a great demand. But we ask people to do that so that Krishna's plan may unfold. The plan of Krishna is inscrutable, but we have to keep faith in Krishna, which comes by association with devotees, by hearing about Krishna, by acting in Krishna consciousness. All these talks I'm giving, and some devotees are regularly listening, we should understand that these talks, it's not supposed to be some kind of intellectual stimulus, or it's meant to stimulate our surrender to Krishna, which manifests a service to Krishna. See, listening, but that should manifest as service to Krishna. We should chant Hare Krishna, that's the first service, chant the holy names of Krishna. We should engage in service to the Sankirtan movement, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, assisting others in the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books, going out on Harinam Sankirtan. It's a difficult period at the present time, and it's an unusual situation in the world at the present time, with lockdowns here and there and this and that going on. But anyway, this Sankirtan movement, we should participate in it. Or at home, service to Krishna, yeah, worship at home, chant Hare Krishna at home. Kirtan Mela, you can't have a Kirtan Mela properly these days. That was becoming a major part of ISKCON culture. But apart from Kirtan Mela, every day, you're there at home with your family, three people, four people, five, six, seven, eight, gather a few families together, chant Hare Krishna. It might not be the same as having the superstar kirtaniers who fly in from here and there. Your voice may not be that beautiful and that wonderful, and it may not be so musically perfect, but that's not what Krishna's looking for. He wants to see that we're sincerely chanting. So yeah, if the hearing, let us be inspired for chanting, serving Krishna, offering food to Krishna, following the process of Krishna consciousness very seriously, bhakti yoga, getting in contact with Krishna, linking up with Krishna. So Shravanam is meant for service. We become inspired to serve Krishna. That's ultimately what it's all about. Serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna's senses. Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Krishna conscious means, bhakti means service to He who is the Lord of the senses. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyas charki pasindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namo. Dante nitaya churnakang padaya nipabhya kritva chakakushata medana ambavim. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad. Gauranga chandra charne kuruta. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukaro na vayam bichariyamaha. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilotama nartama nirvishama.